Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I am your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Yeshua, our Lord. And we ask this day, God, that He will speak to us and speak through us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you right now to come into our midst and to have your way. Lord Jesus, we surrender right now. We decrease right now. We are committing our life, mind, body, and soul to you right now. We ask you, God, to have your way. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Let it be none of us, but all of you. Oh, Jesus, we ask you to heal this morning. Lord, we pray for Bishop Washington and Evangelist and Apostle Washington, Lord God. We pray, Father, even right now, that, Lord, that all the appointments that they have today would go well. Yes, Lord God, all will go well. That there would be no errors at all, Lord God. Oh, Father God, that they will get the answers, the reports that they need, oh God. Holy Spirit, we thank you this day. Bless them with safe travel, oh, going and coming, oh God. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the honor in your holy name. Jesus, come in and have your way. We ask you to sterilize the atmosphere. Saturate the atmosphere this morning with your presence, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. All about you, Lord. Heal, deliver, restore. God, consecrate, oh God. Lord, we ask you to separate us from this world. Let not the world have dominion over us, O God. But Father, we pray this day that you would allow us to hear from heaven as we seek your face, Jesus. Help us to hear from heaven. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. So many are in need of a touch this morning. So many are in need of, oh God, food to eat, place to rest their head. Oh God, I pray for my nephew that's in the hospital this morning that had a lot of difficulties with his feet. And Lord, I pray that all goes well as they did the surgery on his feet, Lord God, that the flesh will grow back. And that he wouldn't have to lose any of his feet, oh God. Oh, Father, we pray today, Lord, for your outpouring of the anointing, Jesus. We pray for the outpouring of the anointing right now, Lord God, to be upon this service, oh God. Yes, Jesus, that you would come in and that you would show out, oh God. And, oh, God, as we go into give them an ear to hear from heaven, oh, God. It's not just about saying that I am this or I am that, but let the works that they do glorify you, Lord. Father, I pray for my family. My immediate family and my church family. I pray, God, that you heal, oh God, and that you draw us to you closer. Lord, I pray for my son and my daughters, my grandson and my granddaughters, my great-grandchildren, my great-granddaughters and my great-grandsons. Lord, I pray for all of them. Lord, I pray that you draw them to you. Let them hear your voice, oh God. Let them be separated from this world system and let them have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, that they might come to know you as Lord and Savior. I know the truth of your word, O God, because it's your word that makes the difference, O God. And Father, we will glorify your name. Continue to glorify your name, because you are worthy and worthy to be praised. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Let us worship for a little bit, and then we're going to come in and do this word.
Oh, my God. if you would stand to your feet right now. Would you just raise your hands one more time toward heaven? And listen now. Let's just begin to worship him all over this building in the overflow. We're going to pray for every one of you that desire prayer tonight. Same anointing in here is flowing into that room right now. Let's just begin to worship him now. Just for a few moments, let's entertain his presence. Let's worship him right now. Just give him glory. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Tell him in your own way how much you love him. Tell him in your own way what he means to you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Precious Jesus. I sing praises to your name. Sing it with me. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and great to be praised.
Your faithfulness and love you show to me. I don't
Raise your voice, surely, my King.
Amen. We worship you, Adonai. You are Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You're the first and the last. You're the one that sit high and sees low. You're the one that heals and delivers. No one compares to you, Jesus. So we worship you, Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you for this day. Truly, this is the day that you have made, and we are already rejoicing, and we are glad. Lord, we are asking you to separate us from this world. Lord, let our spirit not be drawn into the mess that the world is showing us, O God. We ask you, Father God, to saturate the atmosphere with your glorious presence, O God. Take complete control, O God, of what we say and what we do. Father, let there be none of me but all of you. And as I speak, God, and the word go out in the atmosphere, let it not return void, but let it accomplish what is intended to do. Father, we ask you to touch the sick and shut in. Touch those that are blind spiritually and naturally. Heal the sick today. Open deaf ears. And cause the dumb to speak, the crippled to walk. We ask, Father God, that you would heal hearts today. Heal cancer and all forms of cancer, Lord, that you would heal, O God. That you would supply the needs of the poor, the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, Lord God. That you would make a way which seems to be no way at all. But, Father, we recognize that you are the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come to you except you draw them. Oh, Father God, Lord Jesus, Yeshua, we ask you now, as you have saturated the atmosphere and sterilized the atmosphere, to allow us to teach this message today. Lord, it's a different message, but Lord, it's the message that you want us to release today in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to talk to you today from the Globe Bible. And we want to come in and talk to you about control your flesh, or it will cause you great sorrow. Control your flesh, or it will cause you great sorrow. I'll say it again. Control your flesh, or it will cause you great sorrow. And that goes for me. I'm inside that yo. In your flesh, right? I'm inside there. I must control my flesh or it will cause me great sorrow. We want a couple of things we want to give you. I got to go to the post office today and apply for my United States passport. So I have to go down there a little bit. Let's go to the book of Romans first. That's the first scripture we'll go there. And let's start at verse 13 or so. Let's see where we start. Verse 15. Let's start at verse 15. No, that's the wrong scripture. Let's go to verse chapter 7. Chapter 7 in the book of Romans. Chapter 7. And let's start. We hear it talks about the law and sin. So let's start at verse 7. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. See, the law is the schoolmaster. The law is what exposed sin. Hallelujah. The law is what allow you to know, allow us to know that we are sinning. Now, if we didn't have law in our country, people would continue to be robbing people. I mean, even though they're still robbing, but they go to jail when they get caught. Or sometimes they lose their life. But the law let them know that it is not right to go into somebody's home. That's not their home. It's not right to hold on to somebody and take what belongs to them. It's not yours. It's the law points that out. See? So this is the part that the law plays in the believer's life. The law lets us know that sin is sin. To the unbeliever, The unbeliever doesn't care about the law. That's why the unbeliever continue to do the things that he or she does and end up in prison or even losing their lives. So Paul continued to speak on this word about the law and sin. He says, yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you should not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produces in me all kinds of covetousness. See, sin is inside of us. It's causing us to crave the things that the spirit man does not need. Paul said there's a war that's going on inside of his members, a war of good and evil. There's a war inside of you. There's a war inside of me. Every time we want to do right, we end up doing wrong because the war, the flesh is warring against the spirit man. So here we see here, Paul says that sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandments, produce in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. As without the law, you would not have known that you're sinning. That's what Paul is saying. You would continue doing what you're doing because it makes you feel good. When I was smoking crack cocaine, I felt good smoking it, but it was killing me. It did not allow me to be with my family. It didn't allow me to be with true people, people that would say that would really love and care for me. This is what sin does. Sin separates you from people, places, and things that would mean you good. You may connect with people and some places and some things, but they don't mean you any good. That's what sin does. Sin does not allow you to go to places that you need to go that you would have a good time. Sin separates us. So Paul continued to write. He said, there, the very commandment that promised life proves to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy. The commandment is holy and righteous and good. The commandments of God, they are holy. When commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long in the land. The commandments are holy. They are good. They teach us good things. The commandments tell us, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his ass, nor his ox, nor his maiden, nor anything that says, oh, thou shalt worship only one God. The commandments say, thou shalt have no other gods but me. The commandments are good. Hallelujah. But our flesh says no, because the commandments put a demand on your spirit man. Do you hear what I'm saying? The commandments put a demand on our spirit man. It does not allow us to do the things that we want to do. This is what the commandments do. So we continue doing what we want to do anyway. You hear people say, well, I'm going to do it anyway because it feels good to me. Paul is trying to instruct us. We're going to go into some deep scripture here and see how the commandments caused David's son to get in trouble with his own sister. We're going into all of that today. And then I'm going to pray and close out and go over to the post office. We just want to give you a little bit about the commandments. Number one commandment says, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Commandment 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Number 4, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land. Number 5, number 6, thou shalt not kill. Number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 8, thou shalt not steal. Number 9, thou shalt not fear. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Number 10, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. The Ten Commandments. These are instructions for life. If we follow the instructions of the Lord, of the Ten Commandments, we will live. So Paul says, did that which is good, then being death to me. But no, by no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good. In order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandments might become sinful beyond measure. For we know that the law is spiritual. The word Paul says, hallelujah, glory to God. Okay, let's go back here. Yes, hallelujah. He said, for I do not understand my own actions, verse 15. For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled, bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I love, that I hate, which my moral instinct condemns. See, the flesh does the very thing that we hate, and the spirit condemns it. Have you ever known that when we go and do something that we know we shouldn't have done, after we do it, we feel the guilt. Despite minds make us feel guilty, we can't even enjoy the rest of the day because we feel guilty of that thing that we did that we know we shouldn't have done. This is because of the war that's going on. The spirit doesn't want us to do it. And we can hear it in our spirit rumbling. Don't do that thing, boy. Girl, don't do that. That's not good for you. Why you want to do that? And you would say to yourself, man, I'm going to do that because it looks good. And it might feel good to me. And you do it, and you may feel good for the little short time, but right after you've done it, the guilt of knowing right from wrong comes into you. And you start feeling bad. Paul is speaking. This is so powerful in this text. We're talking this morning, control your flesh or it will cause you great sorrow. You ever feel like, you know, you're going out on the street and say, man, I'm going down the highway. I got to leave home. You go and jump in your car and you're going down the highway and the car's clean. You feel good. You know, when the car's clean inside and outside, you feel like driving somewhere. But your flesh, your spirit says, man, why don't you just sit back and relax? The spirit says, why don't you sit home and relax? The flesh says, man, come on, let's go out. It talks to you like that. Let's go out on the highway. You go on the highway, you know, the speed limit says 60, 65, 70, 55 in some areas, 35, 20, depends on what street you're on. But you may be going twice as fast as what the speed limit requires. And you might hit a slick part of the road, a wet road, or, you know, or something, a deer run across the highway caused you to lose control. You might not die. You might hurt yourself badly or hurt someone. You end up in the hospital. Then conviction takes over. The spirit begins to say, didn't I warn you not to go leave the house? Now you feel bad because you didn't obey the spirit's voice speaking to you. We say the Lord is speaking to us. We don't obey. We go and do what we want to do. Paul says here in chapter 7 of Romans, he said, now if I do habitually what is contrary to my desire, that means that I acknowledge and agree that the law is good. He said, every time I want to do good, evil is always present. Hallelujah. So he had a fight that was going on inside of him, and we have a fight that's going on inside of us all the time. No one is exempt. Doesn't matter because you're preaching and teaching the gospel. You still have a fight going on inside you. He said, however, it is no longer I who do the deeds, but the sin, the principle which is at home in me and has possession over me. See, sin takes over our thoughts. When we do not adhere to the sounding and the written word, the command of God, the instruction of God, sin takes over. We don't want it to take over, but we yield to the flesh. The Bible says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It happened in the Garden of Eden. I mean, Adam and Eve had conversation with God. God had warned them not to eat of the tree of good and evil. Do not eat of that tree. But Satan operated in their flesh, tells them that the tree, to eat of that tree, going to make them wise as God, going to make them as gods. They were able to see as God see, hear as God hear, do as God do. In other words, he's saying they'd be like gods. They would never be gods, but they'd be like God, have power and authority. And isn't that what we want to do? We want to believe that we are as God. No, we are God's children, but we're not as God. We are not gods. We are his children. Only he is God. Let him do what he can do, and we do what he ordained us to do. He said, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. This is what Paul says. He said, however, it is no longer I who do the deeds, but the sin that in him is what's causing him to do what he didn't want to do, just like you and I. That's because we say things that we shouldn't do, say, and then we say we are sorry. It's too late. Once the words get out of your mouth, out of our mouths, it's too late to say I'm sorry. Say, for instance, I say, well, you know, so-and-so is my girlfriend. So-and-so is my boyfriend. You know, if it depends on what gender you are. You want to love, respect, and honor them. But now when you send bad things to them and about them, and it gets back to their ears, you say, I apologize. Well, the word is already in the ear. It's cut them to the core of their soul. It's hurt them. Being apologetic don't change it. It's good that you apologize. It's good that you're sorry. It's good that we're sorry, but it doesn't change what we have said or done. We got to get to a place in our walk with God where we allow God to lead and guide us and that we don't keep on making these sinful mistakes, allowing the flesh to control us. We must control the flesh. This is what the message is about. You know, hallelujah, glory to God. Control your flesh, or it will cause you great sorrow. You say, well, you got this, you're married to this man, but he's never there for you. He's never there to comfort you, to take care of what you need taken care of. He don't have you in the house. Don't do nothing. You say, well, I'm going to get another young man. I saw Brother John, Brother Peter, Brother Cabbage, Brother Rupert, Brother Carrot, Brother Cucumber, Sister Spinach. I'm going to hook up with her. You seeing all this stuff. So now once you get hooked up with them and you start doing what you know you shouldn't be doing, it gets back to your wife or to your husband. You go now, they say, well, why do you do that? You know, that's the first thing they're going to say. Now, you know you are my husband, I'm your wife, and I'm so. You say, well, baby, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Well, you do it because you figure, well, because she's not there for you, he's not there for you, you're going to do your own thing. The flesh said, well, why don't you just go and get it on? Why don't you go and get it on like Marvin Gaye? Go get it on. Let's get it on. You go get it on. But after you get it on, the spirit now begin to make you feel guilty. Point out your errors to you. Hallelujah. You tell her you're sorry. She may accept your apology, but she'll never forget. He may accept your apology, but he'll never forget. He'll never forget. Here, let's go a little further in this word. Paul says, verse 18 says, he said, for I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out. Paul said, no. I got a will to do. In me, I feel to do what is right, to please my brother, to please my sister, to be there for my sister, to be there for my brother. But guess what? When they really want me, I'm nowhere around. I'm not there. I find something else to do. I don't respond to their call. I'm only thinking about me. And that's what a lot of people do. Hallelujah. So here Paul says, for I fail to practice the good deeds I desire to do. But the evil deeds that I do not desire to do are what I am ever doing. The very things that we don't want to do or shouldn't do, we find ourselves doing. And the things that we ought to be doing every single day, 24/7, we just don't do. Because what's in control that shouldn't be in control is controlling us. The flesh is in control of each and every one of us. And we find ourselves doing what we shouldn't do. It's not us. It's the flesh that's doing it in us. Now let me go a little further. He said, no, if I do what I do not desire to do, it is no longer I doing it. It is not myself that acts, but the sin, the principle, which dwells within me, sits and operating in my soul. See, that lust of the flesh, that lust of the eye, and the pride of life is operating in us, in every one of us. He said, so I find it to be a law or rule of action of my being, that when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present with me. I am subject to its insistent demand. See, this draw on our flesh makes us do things that we ought not be doing. I remember when I used to get high and get drunk. Didn't want to. Then, in reality, I used to tell myself on Sunday morning, Saturday night, after I spent all my money and I'm broke, I said, man, I ain't getting high no more. I'm not going to smoke no more cocaine. I'm not going to snort no coke. I'm not going to do nothing that changed my, alter my way of thinking. I was saying all of that. I really had good intentions. I was saying all of that because guess what? I had no more money left. You understand what I'm saying? I was broke. But no sooner, truth be told, no sooner that I got some money, I went, called the man, and I said, look, get this ready for me. I should be by your house at X amount of minutes. I'm going to be no more than 30, 40 minutes. I'm going to be by your house. Remember, all weekend, after the weekend, after Saturday, I was saying I wasn't going to do it. And I really meant that. I wasn't going to do it. You mean the stuff where you say to? I'm not going to mess up anymore. We all do. I'm not going to mess up anymore. I apologize for this. I apologize for that. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to call her out her name. I'm not going to call him out his name anymore. No, I'm not doing it anymore. I prayed about it. I asked God to forgive me. I asked my friends, my associate, my girlfriend, my wife, my husband. I asked them. I asked my boss, my supervisor to forgive me. Give me another chance on the job. Don't fire me. Just give me another chance. I'm going to act right. No sooner the day has come to a new day, we start acting the same way. We act the same way because the flesh is in control. We will not put the flesh under subjection. And then if we ever get any correction from the boss, the supervisor, from your friend, from the pastor, from the bishop, the apostle, the deacon, the usher, the janitor, if we ever get a correction, we get mad. We're not talking. We're not saying hello to anybody. We're not speaking. We say we want correction, but when we get correction, we're not in agreement. You know, I was on Deacon Line, Brother Deacon Line, and I don't need to say this, but I'm saying anywhere on Saturday night. I was on there for a long time. Listened to Deacon prayer. Some of the people was on there. Listened to Bishop and Apostle came on, and Apostle said a few things. Bishop said little things in the back. And I sit there laying on the bed. And I didn't say nothing at all. Nothing at all. And then when I get off the line to study the word, say, well, cause I don't know if when I go to visit with minister on there at her church, if the pastor will call me, because they never know. You always got to be ready. They want me to sit up front, but I sit in the back seat, the last seat in the church, in the building. And the Lord convicted me. The Lord says, don't act like other people act. You in control. You in control of your spirit, man. Don't let the flesh control your spirit. The Lord says, when you enter in, always be ready to say a word. Always be ready to give a word, to make a response. That's who I call you to be. God began to correct me. I didn't have to tell you all this morning, but I know he corrected me. And a lot of times what we do, we let the flesh, don't understand what's going on, that it's the flesh. The flesh is controlling the spirit, and the flesh would let us say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Who is controlling the flesh? Satan. Jesus said, no, don't say hallelujah, don't say praise the Lord, don't say thank you, Jesus. Don't give a response to the sermon. Don't give a response to the preacher like you heard in the preacher. Like we heard in the preacher. No, we can't hurt the preacher. You heard in God. Remember when the people talked about Aaron and Moses, the Israelites? Oh, they say all kind of stuff. The very people that lead them out of Egypt, they talk about them, murmur against them like a dog. Call them all kind of names. Matter of fact, they wanted to stone Moses and Aaron to death. And Moses had to tell Aaron, look, they're not murmuring against us. They're murmuring against God. The God that's in them, in us, people don't want to respond to. And sometimes it comes out of jealousy that folk don't want to respond. And because you got a prayer line. And because you got a church line. They don't want to do it, but they envy you. They come on the line just to critique you, say, man, he don't preach that good anyway. I don't like her the way. I don't like her style anyway. She's too loud. She's too loud. All this stuff to come on with. It's all the jealousy. And Satan shut them down. Put that jealous spirit inside them. We're going to talk about that stuff when we go to 2 Samuel in a minute. I got some time. So we're going to go. Just have to get this. Take this some herb medicine there. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Let me just go in here for this. Get this thing inside here. Here, Paul says in verse 21, Paul says, so I find it to be a law or rule of action of my being that when I want to do, when I want to do what is right, and good, evil is ever present with me. And I am subject to its existence demand. This is the Apostle Paul. This is Paul talking, the one that God used to write three parts of the New Testament. And Paul said that this thing is inside of him. This desire, he have a good intention to do the thing that pleased God, all of us. Don't feel bad. Ask God to correct it. We gotta ask God to correct it. David says, "Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit." David knew there was something going on inside his heart, inside his spirit, man, that didn't please God. So he asked God to change him on the inside. We can't change ourselves. The problem is we're trying to fix some stuff that only God can fix. We gotta ask God. And then when we try to fix it on our own, the flesh gets stronger. Because the flesh, no, you can't wrestle with the flesh. The flesh is like an incredible Hulk. Trying to wrestle with it. You trying to wrestle with it. We trying to wrestle with the flesh. I'm gonna get it right, man. I'm not gonna do it anymore. I'm not gonna do it, girlfriend. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna have it anymore. The flesh just sits by me and laugh at us. Wait till the weekend. Just wait till the weekend. I'm not going back to the club. I'm true going to the club. Because every time I go to the club, I drink, I smoke, and I act belligerent. I'm not going back anymore. I'm not going down to Sister Annie's house anymore. I'm not going down there. Because every time I go down there, they end up smoking and drinking and acting and doing the dirty. And oh, I'm not going down there. You end up, I saw that we can't get here. Saw that we can't get. We are back down to Anna's house. We are back to the club. Why? Because we haven't taken it to the master. We got to take it to him. We got to take it to him. I was watching the show last night, and this man, the pastor, in Nigerian show, and the man had died, and the angel of the Lord came and took him, allowed him to see heaven in the spirit. His spirit came out of him. The angel took him, because you know no flesh can enter into heaven. No, not this dirty flesh. And his spirit, the angel lead him in heaven, let him see. The flowers were singing, and the flowers looked like people. He said, the angel, what's all this song I'm hearing? He couldn't see no people. And the angel says, it is the flowers singing and waiting for the saints. So the angel showed him now when to take him to a place where all the saints were. And the saints were all like lights. The whole place was just lit up like golden lights. I mean, they had their hands in the air praising, but you couldn't see the people. The angel told the pastor, their hands are in the air, and he asked the angel, what is all that? He said, those are the saints praising God. He said, but I don't see nobody. He said, their hands are in the air, and the illumination that you're seeing is the saints. They're like gold just shining. So then the angel took him down to hell and showed him all of hell. I mean, I got it on my page. I had to download it on my page. It's something else to see. If you haven't been scared and convicted to live holy, watch that show. Watch that show. The man is still in the mortuary, dead, his body. People are there praying for him back in the mortuary. Oh, a lot of people praying for him. I think of a mortuary home or something. And they were praying for him. All the parishioners were praying for him. He's in hell with the angel. And then the angel showed him all of these great people, supposedly was great people, that was went into hell. And he says that they had eat flesh while they was on the earth living and drink the blood of people. Now they are eating their own flesh. There's no blood in them, the angel says. And you know when you die that they drain all the blood out of you anyway. He says, all the people that was in hell were eating their own flesh. And then the flesh will come back and they will eat the flesh over and over. This go on continuously. And the pastor says, man, I don't want to be down there. I don't want to go to hell. And the pastor showed, the angel showed the pastor his ways. And the pastor says, the angel said to the pastor, this is where you would end up. Pastor said to the angel, I don't want to end up here. He said, how can I end up here? I'm a pastor. Can I preach the gospel? I preach the gospel to so many people. But the angel told him, he says, but you know, you haven't forgiven your wife. He says, and that unforgiveness will stop you from going to heaven. You will end up here just like all these other people because you've got an unforgiving spirit. So he began to said he's going to repent. So the angel took him back up now. And while he was there, people was doing CPR and all that stuff, but the wife was there too. He was dead. And the wife was seen. He didn't have no life in his body. But as the angel brought him back, his spirit went back into the body. And he began to get a little bit of heartbeat, a little bit of here in his lungs. Why am I telling you all of this? Because the flesh will stop us from forgiving people. The flesh will stop us from doing what is right, what's pleasing to God. The flesh will cause us to be jealous over each other instead of being a helper one to another. We forget that we are many members of the body, but we are one body. We forget that. Sometimes the preachers say, well, you know, I own all of these homes. I got yachts. I got jets. I got all this stuff. I got millions of dollars in the bank account. And then in his heart, he's looking down on other poor people, on poor people that they're not able to give an offering. They're not able to pay tithes or do anything. And the pastor will look down to remember the story in the book of Luke, chapter 15, I think it is. We the Good Samaritan helped the poor man that was on the side of the street. But before the Good Samaritan helped him, the priest came by and looked out and see the man and just crossed over to the other side of the street. The priest was supposed to go and help that man because the priest is representing God. The minister, the elder, the deacon, the elder, the usher, all of us stand in the office of ambassadors to help to do God's work. But we sometimes put our heads, our nose up like it's all about us, like we have arrived. The priest goes over to the other side. Then the Levi, he's a worker that works in the house of the Lord. He goes and look right at the man and then cross over to the other side. Didn't help him. How many of us does that? We have an excuse. We make excuses not to help anybody. And then people that say, well, I'll wait until I get some money to help the poor. You don't need $1 million to help the poor. Jesus take 2 fish and 5 loaves and help the poor. He could have said, I'm going to wait till the ship coming with all the fish. I'm going to wait till it's harvest time to get the corn and the wheat, the barley. But Jesus used what was available to help, to feed, to supply. Paul says, for I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self with my new nature. Psalm 1, verse 2. But I discern in my bodily members, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, a different law rule of action at war against the law of my mind, my reason, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my body, bodily organs, sensitive appetites, and will of the flesh. Look what Paul is saying. Paul said that I discern in my flesh. I can feel, I know my flesh stuff is going on. I want to have sex with this young girl. I want to have sex with this man that's not my husband. I want to have sex with this woman that's not my wife. Paul is saying this stuff in the Word. He said, I have this sensitive appetites, not singular, many appetites that are going on inside our wills of the flesh. It's all in the flesh. You have preachers, you see it on Facebook, they have all of these women that come into church with these little skimpy dresses, and they got the blouse just cut low that you can see their breasts ready to jump out. tempting the pastor, and the pastor's preaching, and then all of a sudden these women come and sit right up at the front. Every minute they cross their legs, uncross their legs, that you can see their underwear. And the pastor says, I don't know what happened, but I seem like the word is changing. I'm sent to move this way. No, he can't even preach the message that he wants to preach. Why? Because his flesh is focused on those women sitting up front. He's looking at their breasts. He's looking on their dress. You understand what I'm saying? Because this desire, this sensitive appetite to sin and wills of the flesh, a different law, the rule of action at war against the law of my mind. My mind represents my spirit, spiritual thoughts, my reasoning, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my bodily organs. See, no. Your organs represent your sexual organs and all this stuff that gives you desire, stimulates in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh. Oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am. Who will release and deliver me from the shackles of the body of death? Oh, thank God he will. Through Jesus Christ, the anointed one, oh Lord. So then, indeed, of myself, with the mind and heart, serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. See, we all have this desire. And we say, oh, man, I'm serving the Lord. And we all have that desire. He says in Romans, that was amplified by, but let's go to Romans 12. And then we're going to go to 2 Samuel. This three scriptures I'm giving you today. 12. Paul said this is what we need to do. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, 12 verse 1. I beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy and devoted sect, consecrated and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. So do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good. Excuse me. All of a sudden my throat wanna hit me. What is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. See, we have to come to that place where we begin to think different, act different, be different. And it has to line up with the word of God. If what we are doing, what we are seeing, how we are operating doesn't please God, we ought to stop. We ought to stop. Hallelujah. I had some people that I was conversating with overseas in other countries. And I want to tell the truth. It didn't please God. It didn't please God. I thought I was doing good for them. But at the same time, I'll be honest with you, I was dishonoring God. And God had to convict me in my spirit. Say, you got to stop this. You got to cut this off. And this is another country. I got to cut it off. You don't know. She don't know. He don't know. The next person don't know. But God knows, and I know. It wasn't healthy for my spirit. You got to think about your spirit, man. Does it please God? Or is it pleasing you? Well, if it's not pleasing God, time to stop. Time to throw in the towel. Absalom, 2 Samuel chapter 13. Absalom, son of David, had a fair sister. She was beautiful beyond comprehension, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, her half-brother, son of David, loved her. In other words, as we was talking here in the book of Romans chapter 7, he had this nasty, filthy desire for his own sister. She was a half-sister, but she still was his sister. Do you hear me today? So he made all types of plans of how he would get his sister in bed. We're going to get there. We got to get there so I can show you this thing. Understand? I want to show you this. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the how sin controls the flesh. All right? And we got to put this flesh under subjection. He talked about this a lot in chapter 7. All right. Paul talks about it. Verse 2. And Amnon was so troubled that he fell sick for his half-sister Tamar. In other words, this is not sick from a cold or fever or disease. He had this lust for his half-sister, his own sister. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, now if I do habitually what is contrary to my desire, that means that I acknowledge and agree that the law is good, morally excellent, and that I take side with it. Now, he is agreeing with his flesh that he wants to sleep with his own sister. So he is saying that it's good when it's really is wrong. It's incest. So he troubled. He was so troubled that he fell sick for his half-sister, Tamar. For she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it impossible for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, son of Shemaiah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. He was very cunning. He was slick. He was subtle. This is what the Bible is saying. He said to Amnon, why are you the king's son so lean and weak looking from day to day? No. Amnon is looking bad. He wants to sleep with his own sister. And because he got this filthy desire, sinful desire, he don't even eat. So his body, physical body, is pining away. He's losing weight. You know, like when you see, if you see the drug addicts, they would take their last dollar and buy some heroin, cook it up in a spoon and put it in the needle and shoot it in the arm, the neck, the leg, the groin, toe, any way they want to so they can get high before they go to McDonald's and buy a cup of cheeseburgers or a 20-piece McNugget or go to Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes or any them place and buy some seafood or fish or anything. They will. And when you look at them, you see their face is so hard. The bone, jawbone is sticking out. I mean, this elbow is sticking out. All you can see, they look so skinny. The bones, the legs, the chest bone, the neck bone, collarbone, everything is sticking out. Why? Because they desire something that they don't really need. They want it more than they want to eat food. So he asked him, why you look so lean and weak? Looking day from day to day, will you not tell me? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my half brother Absalom's sister. He don't even recognize that she is It's our sister. You know, he's looking at her like she's just an ordinary woman that is a virgin that he wants to penetrate. Jonadab said to him, go to bed and pretend you are sick. And when your father said David comes to see you, say to him, let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare it in my sight that I might see it and eat it from her hand. Now see this, Jonadab is a con artist. He's a trickster. He is a trickster, just like Jacob. And he put this, lay out this plan with Amnon, how to trick our sister to come into the bedroom with him and prepare food for him in the bedroom and to feed him while he lay in bed playing sick. So he would have an upper hand over her in the bedroom. Now watch what he says. Let's continue. We're talking about control your flesh or it will cause you great sorrow. Great sorrow. It is just like control your tongue or it will cause you great sorrow. Remember we said before that words are like pictures. Once you expose them to the sunlight, it's like a negative in the negative in the camera. Once you expose them to the sun, they're done. Can't take any more pictures. So Anna laid down and pretend to be sick. And when the king came and King David, his father, came to see him, Amnon said to the king, I pray you let my sister Tamar come. Now he acknowledged him as his sister before his father. Come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat from her hand. Then David sent home and told Tamar, go now to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. David is a king, but he's not a wise king. He is a mighty man of valor. He can fight, but he don't have the wisdom that his son Solomon has or will get from the Lord. We need wisdom and we need understanding when we're going to work for the Lord. It is so easy to be enticed into sinning if we are not operating with the wisdom of God. Very easy. You saw it happen in the garden. It's still happening now. Hallelujah. You say, well, I'm not in Eden. Well, you're still operating like you're in Eden because it's so easy to be deceived to doing the things that you know you shouldn't do. Easy because she looked good. She smelled good. Oh, look at the muscles on him. Look at his six-pack abdominal muscles. Look at his triceps and biceps. He looked real fine. Look at his hair. He's got a nice trim, nice block from the barber. His skin is glowing. Oh, she is just radiant when I look upon her. All her curves are in the right places. Your mind is off the chain. You're not thinking godly. So all Amnon wants to do is get close to his sister because she's fine. She's beautiful. The Bible says so. She's someone you want to talk to. You want to talk about. See her, talk about her beauty, her personality. David went home and told Tamar to go now to your brother's Amnon house and prepare food for him. He's sick. So Tamar went to her brother's Amnon's house and he was in bed and she took dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked them. See, he wanted her to cook for him in his sight so he can lust after his own sister. He can have this filthy desire for his own sister. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to see this thing. It's in the Word. You just got to look at it spiritually. Look at it with spiritual eyes. You'll see it. What other reason there would be that he want her to make the cakes or make the bed in his sight that he can look at her. Why out of women? Because he can lust after her. Now, that desire that he had inside of him would get even stronger. So she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. And Aaron said, send everyone out from me. So everyone went out from him. Now, all his friends, co-workers was at his house. Then only Jonadab knew that he was playing the game. He wasn't really sick. All the other people was at the house was probably praying for Amnon, praying and hoping that he would get well, that he would get over the fever, which he never had a fever. So he says he ordered everybody to leave his home, go, so that he will be in the house alone with he and his sister. His half-sister, do you hear what I'm saying? He emptied the house. Then Amnon said to Tamar, bring the food here into the bedroom so I may eat from your hand. So Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the bedroom to Amnon, her brother. And when she brought them to him, he took hold of her and said, come, lie with me, my sister. He grabbed her. She replied, no, my brother, do not force and humble me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this foolhardy, scandalous thing. Genesis chapter 34 in verse 7. She's begging him not to humiliate her. But the devil has control of his mind. The devil operating in the flesh. The sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved and they were very wroth, mad, upset. Because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Understand? This is the same word that is speaking here in 2 Samuel. She said this thing should not be done. Incest should not happen. Hallelujah. You know that incest went on in the early body. All through the Old Testament. And it's still happening today in the New Testament. He said, and I, how could I rid myself of my shame? And you will be considered one of the stupid fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray you, speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. Listen to what he said. She says, but he would not listen to her. And being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. He raped her. He raped his own sister. Do you hear me? Remember what the topic is. Control your flesh or it will cost you great sorrow, not just sorrow, but great sorrow. He raped her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that his hatred for her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, get out. After he raped her, he took her virginity. He had no desire to be with her any longer. He has took her, made her shame. But she said, no, this great evil is sending me away and is worse than what you did to me. But he would not listen to her. He called the servants who served him and said, put this woman out of my presence now. and bolt the door after her. Look at the sin. Look at the sorrow that's happening because of this incest action that took place. Now Tamar was wearing a long robe with sleeves and of various colors. She had a robe was just like the coat of Joseph with many colors. For incest robes were the king's virgin daughters clad of old. You see, the daughters of the king would wear these nice robes that tells you without even saying a word that they were virgins, that they haven't been touched by any man or anybody. But when her half-brother, had molested her, he tore her robe. Tamar was wearing this long robe with sleeves of various colors, for incest robes were the king's virgin daughters clad of old. Then Amnon's servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And she put ashes on her head and tore the long-sleeved robe which she wore. And she laid her hand on her head and went away shrieking and wailing. She was just crying. Listen to me. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has your brother Amnon been with you? Be quiet now, my sister. He is your brother. Take not this matter to heart." So Tamar dwelt in her brother's Absalom house, a desolate woman. But when King David heard of these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had humbled his sister Tamar. After 2 full years, Absalom had sheep shares at Baal-Hazor near Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, your servant has sheep shears. I pray you, let the king and his servants go with your servant." And the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go, lest we be burdensome to you." Absalom urged David till he would not go, but he blessed him. Then said Absalom, "If not, I pray you, let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom urged him, and he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. The king didn't go up, because he wanted Amnon. Now Absalom commanded his servants, "Notice now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have I not commanded you, be courageous and brave?" Absalom now tell his servants, his soldiers, because Absalom was handsome. He was muscular. He was well fit. He was a warrior. But he loved his family. And this is what brings strife between him and his father. Because he felt that his father, David, King David, ought to done something to Amnon for what he had done to his sister. Abuser. Do you hear me today? So, the servants of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man mounted his mule and fled. While they were on the way, The word came to David, Absalom has killed all the king's sons, and not one of them is left. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the floor, and all his servants standing by tore their clothes. But Jonadab, son of Shemaiah, David's brother, said, let not my lord suppose they have killed all the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. So David said to the king, don't worry, all the sons are not dead. Only Amnon is dead. This purpose has shown itself on Absalom's determined mouth ever since the day Amnon humiliated his sister Tamar. So let not my lord the king take the thing to heart and think all the king's sons are dead. For Amnon only is dead. But Absalom fled, and the young man who kept the watch looked up. And behold, many people were coming by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said to the king, see, the king's sons are coming. It is as your servant said. And as he finished speaking, the king's son came and lifted up their voices and wept. And the king also and all the servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to his mother's father. He went over to his grandfather's home. Tamar, son of Amihud, king of Geshur, and David mourned for his own Amnon every day. So Absalom fled to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the spirit of King David longed to go forth to Absalom, for he was comforted about Amnon, seeing that he was dead. This is the word of the Lord for you, for us today. And I brought this word because the Lord had laid on my heart last night. The sin that's going on in the earth today is grievous before the Lord. The Lord is not pleased with the sin that's in the earth. And I tell you that the Lord, I believe the Lord spoke to me, and he said that there is a hurricane of evil, a hurricane wave of evil that's going to hit the earth. God is waiting for man to repent the sin that's in the earth. Just like I told you the story about that pastor, a lot of pastors today, or many pastors today, are not preaching against sin. They're not preaching against it. They're not even mentioning it in their sermons. They're just preaching a happy-go-lucky sermon because they're trying to please the people. God is not pleased. We are like trumpets. We are supposed to be like trumpets. We're supposed to sound the alarm, warn the people. But we are somewhat, most of us are just like in agreement with sin. We're afraid to talk about it. We're afraid to mention sin. When the people coming down with all of these different things, God is holding us. He's going to hold us responsible for it because we refuse to speak against sin. Father, I thank you for this day, for this word that you have given us pertaining to the flesh. And I pray today that somebody have heard the word and has been convicted by what they hear. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Bible also said in John 3:17, that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, the world through him might be saved. God wants everyone saved. The Bible also said in John 3:19 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Their deeds are evil. You see, this man, this young man, this sermon I was looking at, that we mentioned this morning, he spent all his time imagining himself with his sister, sleeping with his own sister. And it cost him his life. Own brother killed, had him killed. The flesh will cause you great danger if you listen to the flesh. And don't matter if you preach or don't preach. Don't matter how long you've been going to the house of the Lord. It doesn't matter what position you hold in the house of the Lord. Sin is still knocking at the door. Sin is no respecter person. It doesn't care if you're red, white, or blue. It doesn't care. It's no respecter person. Do you hear what it says? Sin will come after you, come after me, come after us. Because what is his job? To kill, steal, and to destroy. It comes from the devil. He's no respecter person. People will have more than enough. He will bless them, and then he will kill them. You look at the politicians, every one of them, they're supposed to work for the people. And a lot of police officers, they're supposed to serve and protect. But most of them don't protect. They serve. They're serving themselves. They're not protecting the people. Matter of fact, they're killing the people. Yet still there's some good police officers out there. A lot of good, not some, a lot of good officers out there. I've had encounters with very good officers. And I told you about the time when I was rushing to get to the church building one morning and I was on some high speed. And the police pulled me over. I said to myself, I'm going to get a ticket now because I know I was wrong. I shouldn't be speeding. But when he comes to my car, he leaves his fingerprints on my car. I would always do a touch the back of your car so you can't say it wasn't you. He said, well, look, my fingerprints is on your car. That's what they do. So he come and talk to me. And then he didn't even give me a ticket. He said, just drive slow, sir, because my record is good. But it doesn't mean that that's going to happen to me all the time, so I try to follow the law, obey the law. There's a lot of good police out there. And what we are called to do is obey the law. Don't break the law. And then when you police got to speak to you, act like a fool, obey the law. But here, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-F, you, me, us, we all sin. It says, the wages of sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. That's in Romans 6:23. And the other one that I called out first earlier is Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death. 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God is Romans 3:23. And the Bible says that God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. All these scriptures are good to study and get into your brain. The Bible says that Peter says, then Peter answered them, repent, change your views, purpose to accept the will of God in your inner self instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness, for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm coming up with the Amplified Bible. So, you might say today, my soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it. Heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will still be walking towards eternity without God. Certainly, you would prefer to go to heaven and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven. This is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Believe that only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say one of the ways, but the way. Number four, accept Christ as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I'm still young and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. You don't need to be old to be near eternity. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again, and these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it, because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. In Revelation 22:7, Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. That means he's coming quicker than quick. Before you snap your finger, before you wink your eye, Jesus will be here. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36b. Jesus says to the disciples, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Go into all the world. But he's saying this. Once he died, they got the revelation, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You must understand, Jesus was speaking this. Give this command to them. before he died, and they got the revelation. He was speaking about himself, because in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead. He says to him in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the word of God. This is the word of God, people. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day to give your life to him. Tomorrow is promised to no man, to no one. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. You can go to sleep right now. You can leave the house and don't get back home. You can be on your way from your office, from your job, and get into a serious accident, God forbid, and that be your last day. You got an opportunity right now to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may say in your mind, well, I was saved. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but you backslid. You turn away from God. You say, well, I don't want to be part of the believers anymore. You know, I'm not interested in that lifestyle anymore. I've been hurt by this pastor, by this bishop, by this apostle. Or they talked to me like I was nobody. They treated me bad. You know, they didn't care for me. You know, I didn't meet their standard. And you walked away from the church, and you said, I never want to be in nobody's building. Because remember, the church building is not the church. That's just the building that houses the church. We are the church. You say, I don't want to go to nobody. I don't want to go to no church anymore. I don't want to be no part of that. Well, but you want to be part of the kingdom of God. And if you want to be part of the kingdom of God, guess what you got to do? You have to repent. You have to forgive people. You have to turn away from your sinful way. You have to. You can't go to heaven with sin in your heart, with malice in your heart, with jealousy in your heart. You have to get rid of it. That's why he said, if you have anything in your heart against anybody, and you got to bring a gift to the church building, you're going to pay your tithes, you're going to give an offering. He said, leave it at the altar. Leave it at the altar. And go make right with your brother or your sister. Forgiveness. Go forgive them. Repent of the sin. Stop doing what you were doing that was leading you away from the cross. And while you were there, ask God to forgive you. Forgive yourself. And by the grace of God, you will be forgiven. And then rededicate your life. Rededicate your life to God. Ask God to take control of your heart. Hallelujah. You have to do this if you want to go to heaven. Because you're not going to go to heaven on your own merits. You're going to heaven, Christ has done. He paid the price on the cross. That's what's going to take you. Then you believe it in him, and not just believing in him, but doing what he requires us to do. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sin today. As David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord Jesus, I am coming to you with great expectations, knowing that you are the only one that can save me. You are the only one that can deliver me from the pit of hell. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I've been living my life every day the way I felt to live it. doing my own thing. But today, after hearing this sermon, I recognize I've done some of them same things, Lord. I have misused. I have abused people. But Lord Jesus, I know that according to 1 John 1:9, it says that you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is only if we come to you. So today I'm coming to you acknowledging my sin. And I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me. Make me whole, Jesus, because I don't want to go to hell. Lord, remove everything that's in my heart that is not like you and make me whole. Help me to walk the life. Help me to walk in the way that pleases you, that brings honor to your name. I repent of my sin today. And Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I know that you have died on the cross according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that says, if I confess with my mouth that which I believe in my heart, that God raised you from the dead, I will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. I believe this, Lord. I believe, O God, that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Father, I ask you now. I invite you, Lord Jesus, to enter my heart, enter my soul, and take up residence in me. Lord, I ask you to begin to cleanse my mind, my thoughts, my way of thinking, my way of doing things. Help me to walk in the way that pleases you, Lord Jesus. I know I always don't get it right. Lord, and when I thought I was getting it right, I was still wrong. I was just like Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 7. Every time I want to do right, wrong was always present. I end up doing wrong. But Lord, today, Lord, I give my heart completely to you. And I'm asking you to take control of my life. Lead me and guide me from this day forth in the way that you would have me to go. And Father, I receive Jesus right now as my Lord and Savior, the one who died on Calvary on a hill called the Skull, Golgotha, Calvary. For my sins. I ask you now, Lord Jesus, to wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet of all unrighteousness. I believe that you shed your blood for my life, for my sins, my iniquities, my transgressions. Take control of my thoughts, Jesus. Even when they try to waver to the left or to the right, I ask you to pull them back to that straight and narrow path. Jesus, thank you for saving me today and making me every whit whole. Heal my body from the inside out. Heal my heart, my liver, my kidneys, my pancreas. Heal cancer, tumors of all sorts, Lord, brain tumors, breast tumors, liver tumors, kidney tumors, lung tumors. Oh, God, open the arteries and strengthen the heart muscles that the blood flow freely. Cleanse the joints from the inflammation of arthritis, O God. Every joint. Eyes, heal the eyes, O God. Heal the ears, O God, that we might hear clearly, that we might see clearly. Cleanse our tongues that we might speak that which is edifying to the body, O God. And if you have said all of that I said and you believe in your heart, and you really truly believe in your heart, and you make that sound decision that you're going to live for Christ, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. We read these books every day, every night. And begin to study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Second 2 Timothy 2:15. Study these scriptures. Then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, or teacher and say, look, I received the gift of salvation, and I'm studying my word, getting to understand what Jesus has done for me at Calvary. But I want to be baptized because the Bible required that you need to be baptized. Baptism is part of salvation. Remember we said if those that do not believe are condemned, they are condemned already because they don't believe. So you need to be baptized. Hallelujah. You say, some people say, well, what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized that went into a paradise with Christ. Well, he was in a different dispensation. But in this dispensation that we live, dispensation under grace, in grace, we need to be baptized. And I want you to call your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemy before your baptism. But if the pastor say they don't baptize in Jesus' name, don't get mad and say, well, I don't want to deal with you. No. Say, okay, pastor, I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I get my witnesses together. Because you need witnesses, okay? You need witness to this great occasion that's going to take place. This is the greatest occasion of your life, baptism, okay? Because you're moving from darkness to light, from death to life. And when you get a pastor to baptize you, remember you're dying with Christ. That's a sign of death, that you're dying with Christ. And when you come up with that water, you're coming up to a new life with Christ. Find a church that is preaching and teaching the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the cross, the doctrine of the Father, the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. It's that all the same doctrine. But you want to be in a church that's preaching the truth. That's get down to it, not a half truth, but the whole truth, and get yourself involved in ministry. Do you hear me today? And don't just go to the building. Be part of what's going on. If it's the truth, get yourself involved. I started out cleaning the bathrooms, vacuuming the sanctuary, cleaning down the pews, cleaning down the altar. That's what I was doing before I even become a minister. Never thought I would be a minister, but I wanted to be part of what God was doing in his house. And he chose to call me up to be a minister. And I love doing what I do. I don't get paid. The payment, I say, is not much here in the earth realm, but the retirement plan in the heavenly realm is out of this world. God bless you all, and thank you all for coming on and hearing this word. I'm just going to open the line for a few minutes. Anybody wants to respond, that's fine. If you don't, I'm going to pray and close out. God, thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, we thank the Lord for you all, few that came on this morning and heard the word, and we thank you for coming. You know, we always praise God for those that come on, those that respond or don't respond. We still thank God for you because it's not about that. It's about you hearing the word of God. That's what's most important. So we're going to pray and get over here. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We ask you to bless, continue to bless the four corners of the earth, bless the north, the south, the east, and the west, O God. And Father, we ask you to bless this here United States of America. Bless the president, bless the vice president, the Congress, the senators. O God, bless the Supreme Court, Justice Department, the Fire Department. O God, we ask you to bless the husbands and wives, O God. O God, yes, Lord, those that you ordained from heaven to be married. Lord, you ordain husband and wife. Lord, bless them, Lord. Bless the children. Bless the teachers. Bless the nurses and doctors, Lord, the EMTs. Lord, we ask you, Father God, to bless every pastor, every preacher that make a decision to live for you, God. And those that live in contrary, God, we ask you to convict them, arrest them, O God. Let your hand of wrath rest upon them. Shake them, O God, until they come to their understanding to live the way that pleases you. Father, we honor you right now. We ask you, Father God, to have your way. have your way in our, the sanctuary of our hearts, on the altar of our hearts, God. We ask you to take complete control. Lead us and guide us into all truth. And Father, even as we leave this land, but never your presence, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, Lord Jesus, and bless us when we go. We ask you, Father, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. Lord Jesus, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And Father, as you bless us, God, we'll be a blessing to someone that need to see your hand, to experience your love and compassion, not only by the cross, oh God, but that you're meeting their needs. You're meeting our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And oh, Father, we will give you the glory. We will give you the honor continuously, letting you know that we love what you have done for us, what you are doing for us, and what you will do for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now bless the airways as we leave this airway, Lord God. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. Remember to tell somebody that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear that will make all the difference in their life. It might change somebody's life, you know that? You know, just to tell somebody that you love them and that God loved them. Hallelujah. It might change your life. Some people are committing suicide. They're hurting people. And they're doing all these things to people because they don't have a mindset of that somebody loved them. Some people don't think that they're worthy enough to be loved. Hallelujah. So when you tell them that you love them and that God loved them, they respond. They respond different. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.